Como News Radio, everything you need to know. Now, Newsline with Ken Schramm.
Microsoft did everything it could to try and create a whole lot of drama about its announcement that was scheduled to take place yesterday afternoon at 3:30. I think Microsoft succeeded. They were even late with their 3:30 announcement. What they came up with, unless you've been living in a cave somewhere, is this tablet that it's going to call Surface. And I got to tell you, it looks pretty cool, right? I mean, I'll look at the inane stuff first. I like the fact that it's got this this built-in stand. It's kind of like a little thing you flip out from the back and it sits up by itself. I like that. And I like this magnetic cover that you use to protect the screen that also is going to double as a keyboard. I think that's pretty cool. The stuff that we don't know anything about, we don't know exactly when it's going to come, when it's going to hit the market sometime this fall. And we don't know how much it's going to cost, which I think is, that's rather important. I'll tell you what, if it doesn't undercut the iPad, I think Microsoft's in for a tough haul. Emily Parkhurst is with Tech Flash, joins me here this afternoon on Newsline PM. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Ken.
So are you all agog and all a Twitter and just...
Well, I don't know. I mean, you mentioned just a minute ago that we don't have a price point yet, and I think that's going to be a really, really important thing for people to know before they get excited about something like this.
I'm the same way, and I'm surprised with everything else that Microsoft did yesterday, and here's why I'm really a little bit leery. Because I think if they were going to really price this competitively, if they're looking at undercutting the iPad, I think that would have been in the first or certainly the second paragraph of their release.
Yeah, and it's going to be tough to undercut the iPad too, especially because iPads right now, you can get an iPad for $400, and with what Microsoft is offering, these are computers that are basically going to run a full operating system, which takes a much faster processor, which is more expensive. So that's going to be tough for them. They could potentially do this as a loss leader at first and see if they could get some traction on the technology before they up the price. We'll see.
See, and that's what I'm hoping they do. I think it would be a smart move. You know, certainly Microsoft can afford to take a loss for, 6 months or so for sure and get this into the market and see how it's received and get people, all the hyperbole surrounding it and have everybody gushing over it and then say, okay, gosh, sorry, we're going to put something extra in here and here's the 6 month updated version and it's going to cost a little bit more.
Yeah, well, that's what they did with Zune and... that didn't work out very well.
Boy, I think that's one word that nobody from Microsoft ever wants to hear ever again.
That is very true. I think you're right.
So what do you, at first blush, with what you know about what this tablet's going to contain and what it's capable of doing, what do you think of it?
I think it's a pretty pretty nifty device, actually. I think it's going to have a lot of the stuff that people want. The keyboard is a big part of it. I think people are really excited about this built-in keyboard, which is something that people have wanted for a while from the iPad. Also, the fact that you can get a full operating system on this, not just the, sort of the dumbed-down version like Apple does with its iOS system. You can have a full Microsoft operating system on this. So it can function as a full computer, and that, I think, for a lot of people is very exciting. Has a lot of applications you would think for businesses, because you could run any software that you run on your business machine on your Surface.
Do you think that is a niche that Microsoft is peering over the hillside at?
I think so, yes.
That's part and parcel of what's coming out here.
But a big part of that is going to be, does this product have the battery life? That's huge. If this needs to be recharged every half an hour running a full operating system, it's not going to be all that useful for people. Think the construction guy out in the field who wants to look at the construction plans. If he has to charge that Surface every half an hour, that's not going to work.
And what about applications? And because I haven't heard much about that, all the apps that are available, say, on iPad, what will be available for this Surface system?
Well, Microsoft has been working really hard to build up its App Store. It still doesn't come anywhere near Apple's or even Google's. But, you know, they've been dumping money into that pretty hard and fast. They even started supporting a school in Finland dedicated to building apps for Windows 8. So, you know, if they continue to increase the number of apps, they could potentially compete there. But the tricky thing is, you know, they have a lot of time to make up. And if you think about what happened, they're competing in a market that Apple created. Apple started the tablets, and they created this market, and so they have to basically compete in a market that Apple created. And that's going to be really hard. Think about what happened with Bing. They tried to compete with Google in a market that Google built, and that also has not gone particularly well for them.
So what are you surprised at the size of this thing? Because I know there was a lot of speculation that perhaps it would be somewhat smaller than the iPad.
Yeah, it's a little bit bigger, just by about an inch. I think it's a good size, actually, because you can. There's no black bars when you watch videos. And so that's, I think, a nod almost to the Kindle Fire, which has done that. It's I think it's a good size. Some people have been complaining that's a little bit big, but I think an inch... Yeah, it's not going to make that much of a difference.
And what about this Netflix thing that they kind of highlighted as well? How does that play?
Oh, the streaming video, and they're also you know, they've got this Xbox, they call it Glass. Forgive me, sorry, I'm forgetting the name of it.
That's all right, I do it all the time.
but basically, it's going to work with your Xbox at home. So you could transfer content between your Xbox and your Surface. So say you were watching a video or reading an article or something on your TV using your Xbox, you could then transfer that to your Surface and take it to go or something like that. So I think that's going to be a big selling point for people who already are using the Xbox program.
All right, so here's what I'm saying. If this has a battery life of... let's say they've got it where they can keep this thing running for 3 or 4 hours without having to be recharged. And if they price it at $349, I think Microsoft has got a winner.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure that that would be the case, yes.
I'm not betting on it, though. Are you?
No, definitely not.
Who knows? Maybe they've come up with some kind of new brand new battery that they just, you know.
They could have. I mean, I think that's going to be a big thing. That, the price point, the battery and the price point are going to be a big thing, and that's probably why they're holding off releasing that information.
Well, we'll see. What, you know, big Christmas time present.
Yeah. Right. Yep, definitely.
Thank you. Emily Parkhurst with Tech Flash. I appreciate the update. Thanks for talking with me.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Stay with us here. Lots going on in Bothell, down in my neck in the woods. Bothell is just moving forward. Wait till we find out what they're up to. You're going to love this.
Time to discuss, dissect, and debate the news. Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
Yeah, I was happy with just what they did with the Wayne Curve. You know, putting up some barrier there that just feels better. Welcome back to Newsline PM. Thanks for hooking up and hanging with me here on this Tuesday afternoon. What am I talking about? On Highway 522, there is this, you know, curve that's just nightmarish. And there was nothing between you and the cars coming in the opposite direction. And now you've got a divider down the middle, although they have a sidewalk that goes to nowhere. I don't know. I have no idea why there's a sidewalk. I guess it would be on the west side of the street there. But Bothell, I got to tell you, everybody kind of, you know, the day or a lifetime thing, more and more people are going to be going, hey, I like that lifetime part. Mark Lamb is the mayor of the up-and-coming Bothell, joins me here on Newsline PM. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing well, Ken. Thanks a lot for having me on. I appreciate it.
You're kicking some ass over there.
Well, we have a really, really great team of people in place, and we have a fantastic city staff, and this is, you know, the Wayne Curve improvements are something that were a long time coming, and as you mentioned, it was a very... really dangerous, a really dangerous corner. It was completely undivided, and it was kind of like a blind turn. And there were many times that I had driven on rainy nights that were really dark.
Yep.
And there was in 1998, actually, at the Ribbon Cutting this morning, Senator McAuliffe was there, and she spoke about a woman who lost her life in 1998. And she said, you know, I made a promise to her family that we would make sure that this was taken care of. And lo and behold, some many years later, we have finally realized that, and that's going to be, I mean, the most important thing. I think it's a beautiful improvement. It makes the entrance to our city a lot better. But first and foremost, this is something that I think, without exaggeration, will save lives in the future, and that's a really important thing.
It is a significant improvement. But let me ask you, I mean, haven't you heard we're in a recession?
Yeah, we are. And I mean, this is a project. This took a long time, honestly. I mean, this took many, many years to put together. But I think it's important for, in government that we not build things when prices are expensive, when we're competing with the private sector. I think it's important to build things when interest rates are low, when labor costs are low, and when material costs are low, and when, frankly, people are out of work. It makes sense for the government to build things that are necessary. I don't believe in building things just for the sake of building things, but when you have a project like this that can improve transportation flow and legitimately protect human life and safety, it's the right thing to do, and it's the right time to do it.
Yeah, but I'm looking at everything else. You got the park at Bothell Landing. You got the riverfront. You got the East Bothell Landing. You got the junction. You've got, 1,400 new housing units that are going to be coming online sometime there. You got all this commercial space. Where are you going to put all the traffic, by the way?
Well, that's an important part of it is going to be the crossroads. And what we did at Wayne Curve is one part of it, and what we're doing at the crossroads is another. I mean, really the impetus for the downtown revitalization was to improve traffic flow. And I think that what grew out of that was a vision of our citizens to have a truly revitalized downtown. But it began with a really basic infrastructure need at Wayne Curve to protect life safety and to move traffic. And at the five corners that we have in Bothell, it's an intersection that we realized with tolling and with all the things that are coming down the road with increased growth, that intersection would be failing. And we knew that 10 years ago, that intersection was going to be a huge choke point, which would push people into neighborhoods in Bothell and Kenmore, and we didn't want that. We said, what's the solution to keep traffic moving? And then out of that grew the idea of having a genuinely revitalized downtown with an expanded park at Bothell Landing and more opportunities for people to live, work, and experience recreational opportunities in our downtown.
I'm serious, man. I think it's awesome. This is so comprehensive, and it is so encompassing in terms of what you're talking about. You got a McMinimins that's going to be coming in there, right? A hotel and pub?
Yeah, that was a really fantastic partnership between us and the McMinniman brothers, which is a family-owned company out of Oregon, and they're going to restore the historic Anderson building, turn it into a 79-room hotel with a lot of pubs, a movie theater, and the pool, the North Shore pool, which had been closed, will be reopened and will be free to Bothell residents for 15 years. So it's a really unique public-private partnership that involves the preservation of a historic space. And, you know, for anybody who's experienced the McMinniman Brothers properties all around the Northwest, they're really, they're fun and they're very, they're not corporate. They're a really fun, unique feel, and I think it's very consistent with the character of the city of Bothell. And I think it's going to be a huge draw to people, not just in Bothell and Kenmore and Kirkland, but from around the Northwest
in
this area.
I'm down in Kenmore. I'll be up in Bothell a lot. I'll be up in Bothell a lot.
Oh, good. We look forward to seeing you.
All right, Mark
Lamb.
We'll
have a beer at the McMinniman.
You got it. I'll buy the first one for you.
Outstanding.
You're on. That's Mark Lamb, mayor of Bothell, for a day or a lifetime. I'm telling you, you'll want the lifetime. In a moment, we're going to be talking about whether or not what you eat, drink, whether it displays your partisan political leanings.
This is Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
Over the course of the past 7 months, you've got authorities in Monroe that have been dealing with the burglaries and vandalism and huge amounts of damage. Wait till you hear who's been responsible.
Como News Radio, everything you need to know. Now, Newsline with Ken Schramm.
This makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, absolutely zero sense. Welcome back to Newsline PM. Thanks for hooking up and hanging with me here on this Tuesday afternoon. I appreciate that. Over the course of the past 7 months, there's just been a whole slew of burglaries and vandalism that have cost something in the neighborhood of like $50,000. And this is all taking place in Monroe, where this is all, it started back in December, and there were, you know, vacant businesses were hit. There were some schools that were hit. They would break into places. These people would break into places and pour milk into keyboards and such. They went into a movie theater and used knives to slash seats, and then they used a sword to cut, you know, this massive hole in a movie screen. And at least it's been solved, which I don't know if the solving of these crimes, I think, raises more questions than there are answers right now. We are talking about nine teenagers, the oldest of which is 15 years old, described as the ringleader. And he was caught by a police resource officer at one of the schools there in Monroe. Officer Scott Cornish is with the Monroe Police Department, joins me here on Newsline PM. How are you, Scott?
Very good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. This is just insane. This is just absolutely friggin' insane.
Yeah, they caused a lot of damage.
Any idea? I mean, what was the purpose here? Just to destroy?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. With the case, I had to work my way backwards with the. I started out with investigating one of the crimes that occurred in May 30th. And from that, I kind of pieced it together and worked my way backwards to find crimes all the way into December of last year. And it seems like, yeah, they just, I think they did some damage and they thought it was fun and they never got caught at that point, so they just continued.
Now, are these kids, without going into any detail, obviously, do they have criminal backgrounds? Have they been in a bunch of trouble? Are they, you know...
No criminal backgrounds. A couple have had maybe some issues at school with truancy and things like that, but no, nothing significant.
I mean, I'm trying to figure what goes through, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, what goes through the mind of a 13, 14, 15-year-old kid who decides to, you know, cut a surveillance camera outside a Catholic church.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. And that was just one of many things that they've done, especially like the movie theater and damaging. Of course, they picked the most expensive things in there to damage. But
and who are they hurting? I mean, obviously they're hurting the businesses, but they're also hurting their friends. They're hurting the community. They're hurting their parents. I mean, this just shakes out as being totally bizarre.
Yeah, absolutely, especially when they've damaged school property. So, I mean, that's going to come out of the entire school budget to have to fix that. And I talked to them about that, that, you know, now some programs may have to get cut because they have to spend all the money to try to repair what destruction they already did.
Are you able to share at all what some of these kids have said to you?
Well, one of them said that it was he was told that it's from one of the other kids that it was fun. Hey, we can go do whatever we want. So that was kind of some of the statements that were made.
When were they doing all this? I'm just curious.
You know, it was during the day. Most of the time it was during the day.
So it's not like they were, you know, gallivanting out at 2:30 in the morning and used the cover of darkness to create all this havoc.
No, most of the time was in the afternoon. At one point, one of the schools, I think they got in during the evening, but early evening is when they initially got in, approximately 6 p.m. Then I think they went back around 9 p.m., and then the second school they hit the next day, and it was middle of the afternoon.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when you were talking with their parents.
Yeah. Yeah, well, hopefully all the parents were very cooperative and extremely surprised at what we discovered.
Didn't get any of the, oh, no, not my Johnny. Oh, no, 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 no.
You know, surprisingly, no, I didn't get that. And I know we hear that a lot, but, yeah, on this occasion we didn't. They were just very upset and apologized for their child's behavior.
Now, are the parents going to wind up being held? They face the possibility of having to bear the financial burden for the repairs to everything.
Yeah, up to the court system, but yeah, that could certainly happen.
Hoo-hoo! Oh, that's going to go over well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the other thing that I'm thinking, and this may seem a little bizarre, in the shadow of the Monroe Reformatory, you know, where you can look up there and think that's where everybody who really screws up badly winds up. And that seems to have been totally lost on them.
Yeah, I think it's just something else that they see so often they just don't even think about it any longer.
So what was the first place they hit?
Well, what I discovered, the first place was in December. They hit it was a vacant building at the time, but it was a gymnasium. It used to be All Star Fitness on Chain Lake Road, and they had entered that and broke out numerous windows and mirrors and things like that.
And then that just escalated from there.
Yeah. And I told all of them that I would still be looking through all the cold cases, which I'm trying to do while I'm working up at the school as a resource officer. So I check some of the cold cases and see if there's any familiarities that I can try to link back to these guys.
Do you think there may be more instances that you'll be able to nail them with?
Or? You know, I don't know. I thought about it. The fact that I caught all of them on the six occasions that they did anything wrong, I find kind of hard to believe for myself that we found everything that they've done. I'm sure that there's some graffiti and things like that out there somewhere that just got painted over, covered up, and not solved.
How were you able to determine who was the what's described as the 15-year-old ringleader? How'd you hook on to that?
Well, I was helping another officer out. Anytime students are involved with any type of crime, especially in the evening when the night graveyard shift officers get it, they'll send me an email, and I'll go follow up for them. So I did. Somebody had seen him, or one of the other children that turned into a witness for that case had mentioned his name, so I contacted him. I Mirandized him, got a confession, got some stolen property from the May 30th burglary at Galaxy Theater. And then from that, getting information from parents that they mentioned that they had seen some Frank Wagner sweatshirts 2 weeks earlier. Well, I read the cases when I come into work and see what happened over the night, and I knew that Frank Wagner had been burglarized 2 weeks earlier. So I checked with Frank Wagner Elementary to make sure that they indeed lost sweatshirts. They did. Went back up, Mirandized him again, got a confession for that burglary. From that, I got all the names to go down to a middle school to do interviews, which then I linked into the burglary that happened the next day at the Sky Valley. And then from there, it just continued. And then I started asking him questions before I booked two into jail for the cutting of the screen and the cutting of the seats at Galaxy Theater. And a witness confessed that, yes, they told him he did this. So Mirandized the next kid, got a verbal confession from that.
Like dominoes, they just fell.
Just like dominoes, yeah, and it just kept going until all the way back to December.
Their summer's screwed.
Yes, it is.
Possibility of their one of them being charged as an adult, or is this going to, do you think, be
No, I do not believe so. Usually that's upheld for violent crimes against persons.
But
so if it's property crimes, generally that's not the case.
Well, when mom and dad have to start writing those checks,
yeah,
going to be... Well, I'll tell you what, Officer Scott Cornish with the Monroe Police Department, good work, man. I mean, put an end to what was a torment to the community. And thanks for coming by here and giving us an update on this.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
All right, you take care.
You too.
All right. That's just, look, I was kind of a hellion. Truthfully, I was really a hellion when I was growing up in the Bronx. But I didn't do crap like this. This was just insane. In a moment, it's Tuesday, Movie Guy, DVDs.
Seattle's waking up to the Como Morning News 5 to 9. Right now, Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
All right, so we've had all these blockbuster movies that have been released, you know what, 4, 5, 6 months ago that should be coming out on DVD and Blu-ray. And we have Brian the Movie Guy to lay it all out for us, what's available this week.
There's quite a bit.
Is there really?
Yeah, at least stuff to add to your queue.
I'm excited.
Nothing here that you're going to want to buy.
Oh, well.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
Excuse me. This has got to be about what's in it for me.
That's true.
You know?
I gotta remember whose show I'm on.
Yeah. What's in it for me, man?
All right. I'll pretend like millions of people aren't listening just for these 2 minutes. There's some great, a lot. I think you're in the minority. Well, maybe, who knows? I don't know. I would assume most people have a Netflix queue or something like that. These are four great titles to add to your Netflix queue. The first one being 21 Jump Street. Crickets.
Oh, man.
Crickets. It's a funny movie.
And it'll pop in DVD and Blu-ray.
Yeah, you can get it on DVD. I don't care. Jonah Hill, Channing Tatum, based off the popular TV show from the 80s.
So somewhat popular.
where Johnny Depp got his start.
I didn't watch the TV show either.
Oh, okay. Well, basically, it's about adults who look young enough and enter this police program where they can be in high school and weed out, you know, wrongdoers, drug dealers, stuff like that. They can pass for high school kids.
So sounds wonderful.
This one, though, that show was supposed to be serious. This show, this movie, rather, is it's a comedy. And it's a very, very funny comedy. Jonah Hill is he's usually the funny guy. Channing Tatum actually turns out to be the very funny guy in this thing. They go in, it's kind of a role reversal. When they were in high school, Channing Tatum was the jock, the stud. Jonah Hill was the computer nerd. And when they get into high school now, the roles have reversed, and it turns out to be a high-octane, back-to-school, raunchy comedy.
Well, now you got my attention.
You like raunch?
You said raunchy.
Always lead with raunch.
Okay.
I should lead with raunch when I'm with you.
But it's really funny,
It's
said.
A very funny movie. I ended up giving it a B+ when I saw it in theaters.
So
very
just
funny.
As a comedy, you're saying this is just a fun movie.
Yes, very fun, and I highly All recommend right. it. One of my favorite movies of the year so far.
Okay.
How's that
All
for
right. Because I tend to respect your opinion.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Okay.
It pains you to say it,
so
doesn't
far.
It? So far, yeah. Next up, we have Big Miracle, which was based off the true story about the whales up in Alaska where they're trapped under the ice with Drew Barrymore. You know what? This is a very heartfelt, harmless, family-friendly movie.
Oh, please.
I took my boys to see this,
well,
7
fine.
And 5,
what's
and they
it?
Loved it.
What's in it for me?
You've got young ones around somewhere, don't you?
Yeah, but she's only 7 months old. She doesn't care about whales right now.
She's not going to get okay. Well, this, you know, if you have kids at home, you want a good family movie. This was also one of my favorites so far of the year, Big Miracle with John Krasinski, Drew Barrymore, and Ted Danson. Very good movie.
Does Drew Barrymore fall into the water in a clingy see-through dress or something?
No, she's got a bodysuit on.
Okay, forget it then.
Next up, we have a movie called Jeff Who Lives at Home. This is with Jason Segel, Ed Helms from The Office, and Susan Sarandon. And it's basically about a guy who lives at home and does drugs and is kind of a deadbeat. And, you know, it's just about a dysfunctional family.
Is this a comedy?
It is a comedy, but it's not a laugh out loud hilarious comedy. But it is kind of a simple-minded day-in-the-life story about a guy who turns out to
be a loser.
Well, he is a loser. Turns out to be a little bit better than that. You got to see it. It's really hard to explain.
Oh man, you know. come on.
It is a very warm-hearted there's a little humor to it.
Where's the violence? Where's the action?
Right.
How many people get killed?
I have some nudity for you on the next one.
Okay. I'm listening.
I'm all ears. Anyways, Jeff Who Lives at Home, I gave that a B when it came out. Very sweet, simple.
It sounds, you're very esoteric sometimes.
Wanderlust. I don't know where they got this title. Well, I do know because it doesn't make any sense. But Paul Rudd, Jennifer Aniston, Alan Alda. This is
that's
about
it. Forget it.
No Alda?
No, that's it. I'm done.
Oh,
no.
Man. Even
no
with the nudity? The nudity won't offset?
No, I don't care. You could have tons of nudity. If Alan Alda's in it, I'm not watching it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No way.
Can I tell you what it's about?
Yeah.
It's about a downsized yuppie Manhattan couple who he loses his job and they get lost in the wilderness and stumble upon this kind of hippie camp and learn that, you know, you don't need money.
Why is Alan Alda still in movies?
That's a good question. I don't know. Yeah, he was in Tower Heist last year. I don't know.
That's it. That's your big list.
That's my big list. It's a big
excuse me. Last week you gave me crap. Last week there was the Sherlock Holmes. That was it. And then you said, but wait, man, there's some good stuff coming out.
This is good
so
stuff.
So you waltz in here today with these four big movies.
Right, right.
No nude scenes.
No,
well,
no.
Yeah, The Wanderlust. Yeah. But I ain't watching. I don't care who's
and
naked.
Alan Alda's not nude, if that's what's bothering you.
No, that would bother me even more.
I got The Artist next week. The blanket.
You know, sometimes you just mean.
Well, this is for everyone else out there. These are four great titles you can add to your Netflix queue.
What's in it for me?
There's nothing.
That's
what's
in it.
I tried with Wanderlust. I thought nudity would do it. I said I'll save this one for last.
Man, you can't tease me with nudity and reward me, quote unquote, with Alan Alda.
All right,
that ain't working, buddy.
That's good to know. All these years later, and now I know that.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Ken.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Brian. Hang with us back in a sec.